This is Bud Colligan here with Mike Boych, co-host of Pod Summit, hosted on podtech.net. And we're here with Shelby Bonney, one of the co-founders and chairman and CEO of CNET Networks. As you may know, CNET Networks is one of the world's leading media companies with such well-known brands as News.com, GameSpot, WebShots, ZDNet, MySimon, and many others. Today we're here at CNET San Francisco headquarters, where 650 of the company's 2,400 employees worldwide work. We're happy to welcome Shelby with us. Welcome, Shelby.
Glad to be with you both.
Well, good. Let's start out. There's a lot of interesting things we could talk about at CNET, but why don't we start at the beginning, and maybe you could tell us a little bit about the story of the founding of CNET.
Sure. So we started in working on a business plan, Halsey Miner and myself, in 1992, and we both went to University of Virginia together but didn't know each other at Virginia. And if you remember back to 1992, the cover of Business Week would have had John Malone with 500 channels and Time Warner's full-service network, and there was this whole idea there was going to be this explosion of new cable channels and convergence in the living room and everything else. And Halsey and I, the idea we had was in the beginning to produce a 24-hour cable network. It was going to be called CNET TV, and then we were going to have a companion online service called CNET Online. And that was kind of the big idea. How do you take those two things together? And off we went. We put a business plan together, and we went to a whole bunch of venture capitalists and proceeded to get turned down by everyone and really struggled. And it was, we had a year and a half of, we were in New York City, jammed in one single little kind of rented office space, and spent a lot of time, thinking it through and doing research and working on it. And in the end, we backed off of doing a 24-hour cable network and launched a TV show and launched what was then CNET.com in April of 95. And from that point on, we really saw the internet explode and TV become a very good vehicle to help drive internet awareness. But that became really, we realized we could do a lot more interesting things on the web than we could through TV.
Now, listeners may not know, but maybe we should disclose it. Bud is a board member here at CNET. How did that come about, and what made you think that he would be a valuable...
Well, it was a terrible mistake. No, we were... this was in 1996, and we were in the process of at least thinking about going public and went through a very extensive and difficult search process. And we're really blessed that at the time Bud joined us on the board, and also Mitchell Kirschman joined us. And it was kind of the dynamic duo. And it was an interesting time because, in 1996, you were still kind of inventing a lot of things. There wasn't great history. And so ourselves and Bud, we've seen a lot of things since 1996 in terms of what's happened both in the industry and at the company.
Yeah, at the time I was CEO of Macromedia, and I think you guys were looking for a couple CEOs of public companies. Mitchell was the CEO of Sybase. And it's been a great ride. I mean, from 1996 to 2006, Mitchell left the board about a year ago, but was very valuable to the company,
incredibly,
growing the company. And now we've got a terrific board with Jarl Mohn, former Liberty Digital, and Peter Curry, former Netscape, just joined the board. So it's a really terrific
board. Yeah.
Do you find that the CEOs on your board take a little more management than some of the other?
Well, Bud takes a lot of management just in general. But I think we've been really blessed. One of the things of starting a company very early on is neither Halsey nor I had any background in anything. So we literally didn't know. We didn't know what we were supposed to be doing. We didn't know what a board meeting was supposed to look like, because we had, in fact, never been to a board meeting before. So there was a lot of very early learnings that we went through as an organization, and it was incredibly helpful to have people that had lived through a lot of both the entrepreneurial process, but also the point of how you make a company more of a real thing, and how do you professionalize it, and at the same time maintain innovation in spirit.
Shelby, talk about some of the early struggles of the company. You referred to a couple about raising money, for example, which is a struggle for many startups. I know John Furrier from podtech.net just went through that and closed his financing successfully, but I know that's an issue. But what are some of the other things that happened along the way where you thought maybe CNET wouldn't make it?
Well, when you look at it, it has some implications on some of my thoughts about some of the things going on in our industry right now. But when you looked at kind of where we were starting, we wanted to launch a 24-hour cable network. you had these big players. I mean, you had Liberty, which was John Malone. You had Time Warner. You had Comcast. You had Cox. You had all these very big players. And as entrepreneurs trying to break into that, it was an incredibly difficult thing to do. And we would show up at a lot of meetings. They'd kind of pat us on the head and say, "That's a really interesting idea. But you know what? If we want to crush you, we could crush you. And if you give us your company, maybe we'll consider giving you distribution." And there were a lot of, you know, over really a two-year period, there were a lot of times where, I mean, it was stark. We were, you know, we never really had enough money. We had, there was one particular time we went to the National Cable Television Association show in Las Vegas, and we sat outside someone's office. We'd flown down just for this. We didn't have that much money. We sat out of someone's office the whole day, and they promised they'd meet with us, and we never met with them. So we'd flown down just for this meeting, and there we sat outside someone's office for 8 or 9 hours. And that was a pretty demoralizing time. And it was, you know, in a good way, I think it made us appreciate everything that much more. But that was a difficult time. I'd also frankly say that kind of the late 90s were a pretty difficult time. Ironically, though, people look back and say, oh, it must have been so much fun during the quote-unquote bubble. But it was a time when employees' feet came off the ground. You'd have meetings with people, and they'd say, "Well, I'm 27 years old, and I'm not a vice president. I haven't made $1 million, and my career is obviously going nowhere. I've got to leave." And it was not. I mean, that was also not a particularly fun time. So we've seen a lot of, you know, times like that. We've seen where the bubble burst. I mean, it's been a lot of. There have been a lot of challenging times, but at the same time, you know, the bulk of our employees joined us before, quote unquote, the bubble. They joined the business because they actually liked the business. And we have a lot of people that show up every day that really care distinctly about the brands and the sites and the products we produce and are doing it for the right reasons. And that's what's been the pleasure of it, is really it's just an incredible, wonderful group of people every day.
Any amusing stories that you'd like to tell us from the early days?
Well, one of the better stories is that, you know, if you look at CNET, one of the things we obviously are known for is we have great URLs. So we have, you know, news.com and download.com. We actually have URLs like kids.com, which we haven't used, and online.com. But one of the funnier ones was when Microsoft decided they were going to launch this technology called ActiveX. A young guy, Matthew Barzin, who worked for us, Microsoft does put out that big press release, does a press conference, the whole bit. Matthew Barzin goes on and checks the internet to see if Microsoft had the forethought to actually register the domain name, which they hadn't. And so he pulls out his credit card for $30, buys the ActiveX domain name. So we call up Microsoft and we say, look, we'd like to build a website around ActiveX and have how-tos and tips and tricks and directories of all this stuff. And Microsoft's like, that's great. We'll come down. We'll send you engineers. We'll, you know, do all these things. We'll support you. And when Microsoft is suddenly nice to you, you realize you've done something terribly wrong. So we figure, oh, my gosh, we're going to look like we're in bed with Microsoft. So we say, well, we've got to do a site for the competing technology, which would at the time would have been Java. So we go on and we look on the internet, who owns java.com, and it turned out it was a coffee maker company in Cleveland, Ohio called Mr. Coffee, which some of you might remember. So we call up, we have the same young guy call up Mr. Coffee, and he says, well, you know, would you be interested in selling us the java.com domain name? And they're like, well, it's interesting you should call, because this company called Sun Microsystems just called, and they're also interested in buying the domain name. So Matthew's like, oh, how are we going to, you know, we'll never compete against Sun. He says, well, we'll call you back. We'll come back with a good offer. So we figure we have to find a different way to compete against them getting this domain name. So we go out and we buy the domain name coffee.com, which cost us $10,000. We bought it from a guy in Boston. We go back to Mr. Coffee. We say, look, what if we traded you, we'll give you $10,000 and coffee.com and therefore, we'll get Java, and you'll have a great domain name and a little money and the whole bit. And they're like, well, that sounds interesting. Let us talk to the Sun people. And they come back and say, well, Sun has come back and said they'll offer us $20,000, and we're really thinking that'd be great. And we said, well, we think ours is better. They're like, I think that $20,000. So hold on, let us come back. So we went and took coffee.com off the table. We bought MrCoffee.com, which they hadn't also bothered to get. We paid $2,000 from that from a guy in San Diego. We go back. We said, we'll match the $20,000 and we'll give you MrCoffee.com. And by God, if we don't get we got the deal. So then we had Java.com, and then so we're waiting for to get the nice response that we got from Microsoft, and Sun said, if you ever use that domain name, we'll sue you out of existence. And we tried, we had all these people write letters and do all this kind of stuff, figuring, it's good for you, it's PC, it's the PC magazine to the PC or Windows magazine to Windows. And Sun still comes back and says, if you ever use that domain name, we'll sue you out of existence. So for the next, 5 or 6 years, if you went to Java.com, you never saw anything. I wouldn't say our little domain name escapade worked that well, with one exception, which, if you remember, we still hadn't traded the coffee.com domain name. So we had coffee.com, so we sold that to a company here in San Francisco called Pete's Coffee. We sold it for $50,000 and a 3-year supply of coffee. And I think that might have been, for a long period of time, the biggest profit and the best deal we actually did as a company.
Well, I remember in the early days, CNET had quite a few different domains. And in fact, you guys had stockpiled domains and were selling them from time to time to people for quite aggressive prices.
Yeah, we actually sold very few. And we've kept a lot. And so we still, if you look today, we have kids.com, chat.com, events.com, future.com, welcome.com, online.com, store.com, and kind of so on. And in some respects, it was awful tempting in 2002 when the market kind of came down around us. But at the time, we're like, look, we want to be in this business for a long time, and these are going to, there's probably no amount that someone can pay us versus what we think this thing probably will ultimately be worth if we were to create a site around it. So let's keep them. And I think it was one of the better decisions we made in what was a lot of very difficult decisions in that time period.
Shelby, some of our listeners probably are not as familiar with CNET Networks as we are. And I think it would be helpful maybe to just lay out what are the big products, the big silos of revenue for the company and the major brands that CNET has, just quickly, and then we can kind of get into some of the vision for those products and where you want to take the company.
So we are, from the beginning to the end, a media company, and we think about ourselves as a media company. Our primary focus is on the Internet. We focus on vertical content sites, so where a lot of people go out and try to reach kind of mass audiences. We're not about mass audiences. We're about finding really passionate audiences around some vertical interest. And you'll see that with a site like CNET around kind of the technology and consumer electronics area. You see that with GameSpot around the video game market, TV.com around TV shows, MP3.com around music, Tech Republic for kind of IT, people within the IT realm, WebShots for people that are interested in photo sharing. And we continue to look for and to want to add more verticals as time goes on. And it's ended up being a great business. It's 90% advertising supported. Now, on the Internet, there's different forms of advertising, whether it's traditional branding or lead revenue or other things. But it is it's its simplest level. That's how we think about our business. And we continue to look for places where, one, we can find audiences that are really passionate about something. Two is, do advertisers want to reach them? And three is, do we think we can do it well? And we'll continue to look for ways, if we're in a series of verticals now, we look to add more verticals really over the next 5 to 10 years.
And for the people that aren't keeping track of these things, that all adds up to how much revenue in your last fiscal year?
We did about $350 million in revenue last year, and if you look at the guidance we've provided, it's around $400 million, kind of we bracket $400 million in revenue this year. And again, it's advertising revenue, and it's we'll reach on a worldwide basis about 116 million unique users per month. We have over the years become distinctly international, so not only do we have great brands in the U.S., but we also do the same thing in other markets like the U.K. and other markets in Europe. Asia, we also have a significant operation in China. And so, though you mentioned at the beginning that San Francisco is now an office that has around 600 employees, it is closely followed by Beijing, which we have over 500 employees serving just the local Chinese market.
Wow. And how about, is the mobile market of interest to CNET, or what are you doing in that space?
Yeah, we think about ourselves as an interactive content company, and the web clearly is a primary way we distribute, but I think there's going to be lots of other ways. And I think mobile would be an important one. We also look at things like IPTV and other areas. I would say we're still very much in the experimentation mode in mobile. I'm not sure we have found the killer application in terms of as a content company. I mean, I think there's obvious things you can do as a services company, but as a content company, I mean, clearly there's news, but kind of what else? And what's been fun about the business, if you think about, you know, kind of our experience over the last 10 years, has been a lot of innovation and trying things and experimenting. We're not at the end of that. And so whether it's mobile or what happens with, you know, convergence finally in the living room, we're at a point of incredible experimentation and innovation, and it's as invigorating, and I think there's as much opportunity today as there really has been over the last 10 years.
You've been listening to Pod Summit on podtech.net. I'm Mike Boych with Bud Colligan. This has been part one of two parts of our interview with Shelby Bonney, Chairman and CEO of CNET.